With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, summits notwithstanding, North Korea's media appears to be stepping up the rhetorical attack on South Korea and joint military exercises with the United States. The state media has taken a relatively subdued tone ahead of a summit with South Korea's president last month and plans for Kim Jong-un to meet President Donald Trump next month in Singapore. But it launched an initial salvo of vitriol last week, and on Tuesday, with the South's president in Washington, the angry tone was back again. In other news, over the weekend, President Trump demanded an investigation into whether the FBI or DOJ used an informant to infiltrate his 2016 campaign for political purposes. The Justice Department's complying to an extent. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with the latest.
The White House is signaling that President Trump is satisfied with the Justice Department expanding its ongoing probe to look into whether the FBI or Justice Department spied on the Trump campaign for political purposes. The president met Monday with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said in a statement after that Chief of Staff John Kelly will immediately set up a meeting with the FBI, DOJ, and congressional leaders to allow lawmakers to review highly classified information they've requested. Karen Travers, ABC News. The White House.
As the deadline rapidly approaches to finish work on an Illinois state budget, state lawmakers are feeling increased pressure from social service agencies and the clients they serve. The agencies say families in need will be directly and immediately harmed if the new budget underfunds essential programs for the poor and those with disabilities. It's just one example of the challenges lawmakers face as they try to craft a balanced budget without tax increases before the May 31st deadline. Governor Bruce Rauner made the death penalty for cop killers and mass murderers an issue by including it among several changes he made to a bill about gun purchase wait times. Both sides of the debate say the hearing Monday was more politics than policy. Republican State Representative John Cabello said that he's tried for years to bring back the death penalty, but it's never had a hearing. He said the fact that this measure is getting a hearing in the Democrat-controlled legislature is a sign of pure politics.
If you want to play political games, sir, do it with other parts of this bill, of this amendatory veto. Don't do it with this.
Meanwhile, Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy said the issue being brought up in the first place smacks of politics, especially when supporters say the burden of proof could be unattainable.
If you really believe that, then you're acknowledging that this is a stunt on the part of your boss. That the games and the disgrace that another member talked about actually land squarely on the second floor.
Lawmakers will debate other elements of the governor's plan in a Wednesday committee. Also in the news, Governor Rauner's criminal justice advisor told that Illinois House committee that Rauner's plan to reinstate the death penalty is designed to avoid the legitimate objections associated with the capital punishment law the state abandoned 7 years ago. David Risley is the Republican governor's director of criminal justice and public safety policy. He told that committee that Rauner's plan would apply only to criminals found guilty beyond all doubt. And Illinois' first couples moved back into the governor's mansion. Bruce and Diana Rauner lugged some of their bone boxes into the 163-year-old mansion after being forced out for months during a massive renovation project. Diana Rauner said the privately funded project will apparently come to just under $15 million. The renovated mansion, with repairs addressing years of neglect, are now ADA compliant for the first time. It will reopen to the public as a special event is planned for July 14th. And flags on government buildings in Illinois remain half-staffed through sunset Tuesday in honor of the victims of the tragedy in Santa Fe, Texas. A school shooting there killed 8 students and 2 teachers. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Also, good morning to any Arabs that have tuned in. That's CT Adams, Pest Control Listener Contact Line. Text line 68255. That's Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space, and your message over to 68255. Well, Mr. Greg Bishop, Let's start this show.
Let's do it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
One, two, three. Good morning. Good morning. Hello, and how are you?
She was about to say it's going to be a wonderful show.
How are you? Early in the morning. Yeah. I say
she'd
good
be lying.
Morning.
She shouldn't say that.
Hello, and how are you?
I mean, really, a show that has like Tom and Steve and others of that ilk calling. Is it really a wonderful show? I mean, come on.
Hey, just fostering conversation.
Oh, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
I'm telling you, this fog.
It is crazy, right?
Beautiful. It was beautiful.
You think it's beautiful?
I love this fog. Yeah. Now, especially because I come in a little bit further south than you do.
Yeah.
You kind of hit, you know, what,
well, I
four
got route,
and then 72?
I got Route 4. Route 4 was really bad, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine
72,
that is bad.
I will say 72, it's sort of...
On the highway north, you know, from southern Sangamon County, you get a little bit of some hill action on the highway, so you kind of rise above the fog levels, and you
right.
can see... It looked like a false horizon, and then all
crazy.
Of a sudden, trees popping out of it. Just the multi-tiered and level, differentiation of the fog. It was pretty fantastic, I think. But yeah, definitely on the highway in some areas, very thick. Leave plenty of space between you and vehicles in front of you.
I'm looking outside though now, and the sun's been. I mean, I got here, I don't know, half hour ago or whatever, but. Since I've been inside, the sun's come up. It's starting to dissipate a little bit.
Yeah, I would imagine. It's
but, man,
gone
I'm telling
soon.
You, in the 5 o'clock hour, and I'm sure earlier than that, it was really bad.
Well, I like I said, I thought it was beautiful. And it's one of those things, too, where we get to see so much different types of weather.
It's strange.
Early in the morning.
Yeah.
On the way to work. And especially, I almost had to put my sunglasses on when I was driving in.
It's crazy.
Because, yeah, it's like... I mean, it's almost sunny out right now.
It's bizarre. It's light, though. I'll tell you that. It's starting to get lighter and lighter earlier in the day every day, so.
Until it starts going reverting back the other way.
Oh, well.
Then we'll notice that as well, because we're up literally at the butt crack of dawn.
If the fog is still around, watch it, because it's pretty thick. And it does affect vision, and like I say, it's probably not affecting it as bad as it was, you know, at 5:20 this morning. But I mean, it's still an hour ago. But it seems to have dissipated. But be careful when you run into some. Yeah, were you expecting that today?
Not necessarily.
I wasn't expecting any fog. I mean, that came out of nowhere.
It must have gotten a little chilly last night, and by chilly, I think lower 60s.
What do we got for a high today?
Only 83, but it is going to warm up to high near 90 later this week with sunny skies.
Well, I mean, that's normal, right? I mean, it's supposed to be.
It's, yeah, late May.
Right? Yeah, this is what it's supposed to be. Those 90s are kind of,
It can get kind of oppressive.
Yeah.
Especially with the humidity.
The 90s are the ones that are abstract, right?
What do you mean abstract?
Well, I'm just saying
like
that,
out of the norm.
Out of the norm, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you typically don't anticipate 90 degree weather in mid to late May. You're looking at like August. You're looking at late July for that type of weather.
Right.
We'll see what that means for the rest of the season. Because I mean, when is it technically summer? It's like the 22nd
Memorial
of June
is,
or something
Memorial
like that.
Day is Monday, right?
Right.
Doesn't it? And it's usually a month out.
Does so that make sense? Yeah. So June 22nd ish.
Here's what I notice. When I drive home, you know, and then go out on the weekends and stuff, people have already opened up their pools.
Oh yeah.
And usually,
yeah, I see pools that are still not open. I'm like, dude, you guys need to open your pool.
Well, those are just people that are living on the tradition of, well, we open it
Memorial Day.
We open it Memorial Day every year, no matter what.
That always drove me nuts.
I don't care if it's 95
degrees.
There are kids going, Jesus,
right?
Open the damn pool. I'd love
how it could vandalize your home to get into your pool.
But this is the weird part. Is we went from snow on April 21st to
it's darn near 90 degrees.
It was 90 degrees a week later. And it really is. We're really having some extreme temperature
variations.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's very strange.
It's par for the course.
But it's nice. I mean, when I drive home and stuff, it's just so pleasant. You know, I roll down the windows and I just let the hair just, the air just mess up my hair and go. I just love it. It does feel so good. So, let's enjoy summer.
Even if it's here.
Before it's here.
You know, a month beforehand.
Man, don't you get the feeling we're going to get like 100 plus degree temperatures
Or we'll have an early onset of fall.
You think so?
I'm
telling you, man, it hasn't. I mean, it seems to have remained summer in the last few years. Tell me if I'm crazy. It has remained summer-like weather into like November, and then it starts. Then we start getting like it'll be a little bit cold, and then it'll be back to warm again. You know, but we'll all the way through Christmas we have 70-degree days. It's crazy. It really is. And then winter isn't ending. I mean, I'm wondering. This might be me, but I'm wondering if the sun is not following our calendar or something.
Well, I've said before.
Has the sun stopped following our calendar?
Not our calendar. We have, I think, a polar shift.
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah, because, listen, it's not crazy. The poles do shift. Incrementally, like to the smallest degree. Like at the speed of how your fingernail grows, right?
Right.
That is happening. Is it speeding up? I don't know. Have we... In the several thousands of years that we've had the Gregorian calendar, for instance, linking up all of our seasons to specific, universal events.
We're not following the same thing we followed when we made the calendar. Yeah.
Is our solar clock well-regulated right now? I don't think it is.
No. I'll tell you something. I watched...
Because we're seeing, we barely had a spring. We're seeming to have earlier onsets of summer, possibly earlier onsets of winter. But then at the same time, the winter's more mild. How much snow did we get this winter?
Yeah,
not much. I think we got more snow on April 1st.
And
than
then
we
when
got.
It was late, we got it late. When right. we got, did you ever see the movie The Core? There's this bad movie that came out early 2000s,
okay,
called The Core, and it seemed at the time. Maybe it was the mid-90s. At the time, it was just ridiculous. I remember making fun of this movie like, what in the world? This is nonsense. Okay, the other day...
The Core, 2003.
The other day, I stumbled across this movie, right? And I watched it.
This is PG-13.
Yeah, and it's basically the Earth's core.
It was a secret
stops.
Government program
Listen,
known as Project
cool.
Destiny.
We're building a weapon that could generate targeted seismic events.
Designed to use earthquakes to attack our enemies.
I'm getting a seismic reading.
It was a perfect, untraceable weapon.
Destiny is a go.
I've never seen this.
Until something went wrong.
No.
That's an electrical
that
superstorm
popping up all over the world.
I'll put this as simply as I can. Everybody on Earth is dead in a year.
The core of the Earth has stopped spinning. The
okay,
spinning
so I think.
Protects us from cosmic radiation.
Yeah.
Without it, radiation will create superstorms. Microwaves will literally cook our planet. How could this
happen?
It was Project Destiny.
I could watch that.
So.
I could watch that.
I watched the movie live in 2003 and I thought, oh, this movie's rubbish. All right. Well, then I watched it. Recently, I'm talking 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I watched it knowing and the things that have happened and stuff.
Yeah.
I was watching, I was going, oh my God, because they talk about the polar ice cap shifting and
the effects of not having a rotation of the Earth in the universe.
It's very bizarre.
That reminds me of a book that Megan and I listen to, because when we travel, we listen to books, like if we're driving. And it reminds me of this book. I can't remember what it's called, but it was about the slowing. I think I told you about it. A young girl, it was from her perspective, and you know, the news was saying, oh, the Earth is slowly starting to stop rotating.
Oh, man.
And then the book is like, you know, a year and a half's worth of her kind of, you know, perspective. And it's, you know, it's heating up. The radiation's out of control. You can't go outside without wearing, you know, really intense, you know, clothing to block you from the sun. And, scientifically, it's all theoretically possible. We could have the Earth slowly starting to stop spinning. But yeah, this type of stuff, is that what's causing our weather, Ray? Is that
Well, I'm wondering, and I and it scares me. It scares the you-know-what out of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I was on Reddit. I shouldn't go on
you
Reddit.
You shouldn't go on Reddit.
Oh, God, I shouldn't. And I stumbled across this thing, and it's like, what they're not telling us. By the way, never read anything called What They're Not Telling Us.
Because you'll eventually find yourself 7 hours later like, where did the time go?
Well, and you end up with the sun is dying.
Right.
And there are some scientists that know it's dying.
Right.
And
your whole outlook on life just changes.
And if the sun goes, we're all dead. There's no, oh my God.
Oh, but what if the sun ray is actually getting ready to blow up?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's going to supernova or whatever. I don't even know
that'd
how
that kill us too.
But it goes. That's this whole thing: is the sun is preparing to go to nova, and it's like you're freaking out. You're going, oh my God! And then it says, at some point in the next million years,
right?
It's like, what, million? Wait, million?
What are my odds here? 50-50, it's going to be next year or a million years.
So I'll be dead long before the sun goes?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And even if the poles are shifting, it's not like it's not destroying us right now. It's hurting Hawaii, probably.
Well,
actually, look what's going on in Hawaii.
For Illinois, it won't be that bad.
Unless, and I've seen models where, you know, somehow a major earthquake happens and splits the U.S. into two and the Great Lakes fill the prairie land.
Oh, we don't want that to happen.
No, we don't want that to happen. We're right in the trajectory of that.
Yeah, so, well, good morning, everybody.
It's foggy out.
Fog and the end of all
It's foggy
existence.
And a little bit more warmer than it typically is. A little bit later this week, 90 the high.
How do we get on these tangents?
Well, the weather. I mean, the weird weather we get to see in the mornings gets our brains working.
You know, we're going to get message mafia texts and stuff going, no matter what you guys talk about, you can always find a way to lead it to something that belongs on a show at 3 in the morning on a Saturday night. Unbelievable.
Good
All
stuff.
Right. It's 629-7970 is a phone number. We will get into some real stuff. And some goofy stuff today. I've got some good, for those of you thinking of going on vacation, I've got a list of the best and worst cities to visit this summer.
Nice.
I've got best finger food, all kinds of garbage like that to get through too. We like it.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, is it justice or revenge? Opponents and proponents of bringing back the death penalty in Illinois for cop killers and mass murderers said their piece Monday in committee. Governor Bruce Rauner spurred on the debate by injecting the death penalty into a bill he changed with his mandatory veto power. At a hearing Monday, Illinois State Police Director Leo Schmitz said they support the death penalty for cop killers and mass murderers as a way to deter criminals from targeting police officers or committing mass murder.
I believe that anything that we can do to help stop that, whether it's this bill or some other bills, is something that we should work on and strive for.
Democratic State Representative Kathleen Willis said everyone should support law enforcement, but she has a question of prioritizing one life over another.
And I certainly do say, yes, we should have your back, but what makes your life more valuable than my husband's life, or my daughter's life, or my mother's life?
Other opponents, including the Catholic Conference, the ACLU, and more, said the death penalty is not a deterrent and goes against criminal justice reforms. Meanwhile, that same House committee will hear Wednesday about other elements of the governor's plan to enhance public safety. They heard about the death penalty yesterday, but other issues the governor injected into the bill he changed with his mandatory veto were slated for Wednesday. Rauner said his plan will increase public safety for school kids and all citizens.
72-hour waiting period for all guns, not just handguns. Making sure we have truth in sentencing and there aren't plea bargains that let dangerous, violent offenders back on the streets too early.
Rauner also wants to ban bump stocks and wants to free up resources for schools to hire armed resource officers and mental health professionals. The sponsor of the bill Rauner changed, State Representative Jonathan Carroll, said that he's open to the conversation.
There's some very important stuff in there. I'm about public safety. I'm about the process of public safety. So let's talk about these issues.
Meanwhile, a state lawmaker who spoke out against Democratic leadership says she was retaliated against. State Representative Kelly Cassidy tells NBC 5 Chicago that Democratic lawmakers and staffers contacted her boss, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, about her part-time employment in an attempt to intimidate her. She resigned from the position, saying she didn't want to be leveraged. Cassidy spoke out against Speaker Michael Madigan's handling of allegations of sexual abuse in the party he chairs. Madigan's office denies the claims. The governor's family has got an old house story, and it's officially moving back into the governor's mansion in Springfield. And one thing that they're looking forward to most is being able to cook their own meals. The governor said when they first moved into the mansion in 2015, their fears of the house deteriorating were made crystal clear.
That very first morning, I went to shave, and I turned on the hot water in the sink, and brown, sort of sludgy stuff came out.
That prompted a push to raise $15 million in private funds for renovations. Aside from being able to make their own meals again, as the residents didn't have a personal kitchen, First Lady Diana Rauner said the most important updates are accessibility.
This building is for the first time ever ADA compliant. It's accessible to all. That's extremely important.
The official public reopening of the Springfield Mansion will be July 14th. From there, it's expected residents will be open for public tours 7 days a week free of charge. And if you had a graduation 18 years from now, expect to hear a ton of Noahs and Olivias. Those were the two most popular names in Illinois, according to the Social Security Administration's release. Nationwide, Liam and Emma topped that list. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Back. It is the Ray Lytle Morning Show, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Good morning, everyone. How we doing? It's almost Memorial Day. A lot of people are preparing for summer and what they're going to be doing. Maybe going on vacation. Who's got it going on enough to go on vacation? You guys going on vacation this year?
Yeah, we're planning on going to Iceland, but not until, like, probably... I think it's late August. So late August, early September we'll be overseas.
Yeah, I'll be taking no vacation.
Why no vacation, Ray?
My family's taking one.
They didn't invite you?
No, my wife and daughter are going to Texas. They just didn't invite me.
Gah! Yeah. Rats.
Did you see my microphone fell off here?
That's never fun.
I'm trying to fix it. Hold on.
You should get out the cell phone and do a live stream while you try to fix it.
It's insane.
So it would prolong that problem of...
Oh, my God.
You guys, if you guys can't... Obviously, you can't see him.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
Obviously, you can't see Ray, but he's literally wrapped up in a cord from head to toe trying to screw this...
The microphone fell off the thing.
He's hanging upside down from the ceiling.
I might have to disconnect the microphone.
He's swinging like a pendulum, trying to screw this microphone back onto a connector.
I don't know if it's going to work or not. I'm just not going to touch it.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Because I have it hanging there, but right. I'm going to have to disconnect it and all kinds of stuff to get it normal. All right, so it is almost Memorial Day, so a lot of people plan on vacations. Like, kids are out of school. My daughter, this is how it caught me out of nowhere. I talked to my daughter. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I don't have class till blah, blah, blah. I go, why not? She goes, I got test. I go, test? She goes, yeah, finals. I'm like, this is finals? She goes, yeah. And I said, really? They started? She goes, I already took my AP Euro. I'm like, you already took it? She goes, yeah.
That snuck up.
She goes, all I got's a final in it. So yeah, like all the finals are starting. I said, when are you out? She goes, this week. So they're done.
They are done?
Done.
Well, they had graduation last weekend for a bunch of people.
They're doing their finals.
Right.
They had graduation because the rest of the kids were taking whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's going through all that. So this is her finals for classes and blah blah blah. Which is weird because like they show up, they do a final, and then you know that's all you do is just the final in the class. I don't remember when I was in school. I don't know if I remember this. Maybe we did, and I'm just too old. But where you get a final, and then if you have study hall, okay, there's no class. You know what are you gonna do?
Right. No, I remember that time when I was a kid. It was always just, you know, hey, kick back. There's a breeze coming through that open window because the school's too cheap to have AC. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wait for the clock to count down. Let's go.
So she's all excited.
I want school out for summer.
She's all excited about the finals, and then that's it.
Pull that song up, man. School's out for summer.
And then I was talking to her. She goes, I go, what are you going to do this summer? And she's telling me, and I go, really? Because you're going to work, right? She goes, yeah. I said, oh, let's work extra hours. And she's like, she goes, you just want to kill any fun that I have. I go, no, what?
No, you got to teach her a work ethic.
When I was your age, summer meant I get to work more. That's what it meant. I get to make more money.
Bring home some more bank. Absolutely.
That seemed to offend my kids.
What?
Oh, if it's up to you, I guess you just want me to work every day. I said, no, you just, whatever.
Did she make a crack the whip reference?
No, she just said that I'm making an effort to make sure she has no fun.
No. So you're a killjoy.
I said, you're 16. Well, how much fun can you have when you're 16?
A lot of fun, Randy.
I start to remember what I did when I was 16.
Absolutely.
Man, I just don't want to think about it anymore. Okay, so a lot of families are planning where to go for vacation.
Yeah, and sometimes it's only something you can drive to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if it's within a two-day driving distance, you can make a really nice week-long, enjoyable family gathering full of yelling and screaming in the car and demands to go to the rest stop, to go to the bathroom, and I want chicken nuggets and screaming to, you know, till their lungs collapse.
Well, they did come up with the top cities that people will go to this year.
Okay. And this is here in the States?
Yes. Top 2018 places to visit for vacation. Any idea what they are? 629-7970. You guys want to do some guessing? I like when we guess. 629-7970. That's the CT Adams Pest Control Listener contact line.
What about Springfield?
Not on the list.
Springfield, Illinois.
We are not on the list.
Is not on the list.
No.
Okay. You know what? This is what happens when you don't.
Top 100 places. We're just not in the top 100.
This is what happens when you don't have a director of CVB.
Yes, that's what it is.
Because you're not out in front of these list makers.
That's what it is.
With a little package of goody Lincoln trinkets and, Lincoln log with business cards.
Realistically, you look at these places, they just have a lot more to offer than Springfield.
Okay.
Good morning. You are on the Ray Lytle Morning Show. What do you got? What's the best destination city this year?
We are going to Destin, Florida this summer, so I'm going to choose Destin, Florida.
Destin, Florida.
He is destined for Florida.
Destin, Florida. Hold on. I'm looking.
Okay, this is a list of 100 cities.
I'm looking. Destin, Florida.
Sounds like we're going to have the place to ourselves.
Yeah.
Destin is near what?
It's on the panhandle part of Florida.
Because
Is it close to Pensacola?
Yeah, Pensacola is in that area.
Yeah, it's number 64.
I want to say Pensacola is about. Pensacola is about an hour and a half from the Florobama line.
Yeah, the Pensacola region.
Beautiful
Pensacola
down there.
Ferry Pass, Brent, Florida, the metro area. That's number 64.
Takes about 15 hours to get there. The brother has a condo down there, and it's just gorgeous. It's gorgeous. He's going to have fun.
Good morning. You are on WMAY.
Question.
Yes.
How recent was this list put together?
It was just compiled.
Because I was going to say, normally I would want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. Boy, Hawaii, this is within driving distance. I don't think Hawaii is on the list just because it's driving.
Yeah,
so,
and that's a pretty exotic type of...
And Hawaii is expensive.
It is expensive.
Well,
it costs a lot to dodge lava.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I don't think I'd be wanting to honeymoon in Hawaii this year.
Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of freaked out about going to Iceland, Ray, because Iceland's the land of fire and ice. They've got huge glaciers. But they also have active volcanoes.
Well, my wife has always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I think that's something her second husband will have to take care of. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going. No. Anyway, thank you, buddy.
Yep. Yeah, with the active volcano in Hawaii, I don't know if I'm Iceland. We may not get a calm trip.
I'm not so much a Dodge volcano kind of guy. Good morning. You are on the Ray Little Morning Show. Vacation destination. Ray. What's number one?
Hey, I don't know about this year, but next year we're going to travel to this really cool place. They're building this water park. It's in Springfield, Illinois. It's on the corner of 4th and Jackson Street. It's supposed to be a big draw.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to go.
Yeah.
That's the spot. That's the new happening spot. You didn't hear?
I got some news for you.
What's that?
All right, buddy. Thank you. They're not going to put up a water park.
No.
There's no way in hell they'll put up a water park.
Nope.
Good morning. You are on WMY. What's the best vacation destination?
How about Niagara Falls?
Niagara Falls. I didn't even see. When I looked through the first time, I don't even remember seeing Niagara Falls on the list. Have you been there before?
Yes.
And did you like it?
I liked it until I had to walk back up the hill.
I thought it was kind of boring, I'll be honest.
Well, I was on the 72. Canadian side.
72, buddy. Yeah.
Okay.
Not bad. Nice pick. There you go, 72. All right, good morning. You're on WMY.
First, I'd like to know, who in the hell would want to go to Florida in the summertime?
Well, it's beautiful, but it is beautiful there.
Good point.
I'll tell you, one of the best vacations ever. I went to St. Petersburg. And
every time my sister goes down there with the kids, they come back looking like a bunch of damn lobsters.
Sorry, right, buddy. That's true.
I went to St. Petersburg. I loved it. I could, if I win the lottery, I am the hell out of here. And I'm telling you, it would be hard to not move to St. Petersburg. I really like that area a lot. Have you ever been there?
No, I've been to the Panhandle, primarily with the white sand beaches down there. Pensacola, the Perdido Key area. That's beautiful. It's just, especially like most of the year, it's beautiful. Even in February, you go down there and it's 55 degrees.
Tampa St. Pete is number 13 on the list. And there's a reason. It's beautiful. I love that place. By the way, number one is a place I went to I went there just a few years ago and loved it. Loved it. Good morning. What is number one on this list? How are you, bud?
I'm going to take a drive to L.A. I'm going out to L.A. I saved up a lot of money. I've been working for a long time, and I'm going to drive on out there.
What are you going to do in L.A.?
Just sightsee. You know, it's a place to be.
Dude, I tell you what. I don't know if you can hear me.
It's number. It's number. L.A. is number 12 on the list. Yeah.
Number 12.
Yeah. I'll go through L.A. and then I'll go on down to Girard and Verdon. That's Lower Auburn, you know.
L.A., Greg.
It's near Auburn.
Yep.
L.A.'s near Auburn.
Thank you, buddy.
He will, if he's really driving to the West Coast.
Oh, you're going
to
regret it.
The drive itself is the trip. Like, that's the vacation.
Oh, it's too much.
Because it takes 4 days to get there.
It's too much.
But I'm telling you what, Ray, it's gorgeous.
You try to convince yourself that, I'll be able to make it and blah, 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 blah. But you can't.
You got to take your time. You've got to take your time.
You're going through mountains and stuff. You got to be awake to go through mountains.
And you're seeing some incredible scenery. Driving across the country in that fashion shows you how absolutely diverse, beautiful, and incredibly vast our country is.
I have no interest in going to LA. I have turned down opportunities to interview for jobs.
Oh, sure.
Several, trust me, people, being a a Midwest accent inflected Mexican American. I have turned down more opportunities
in the Southwest
to go to Los Angeles and Phoenix. And I'm telling you, where they all want me to use my mother's maiden name, by the way. I've turned down more opportunities. I just have no interest. Now, Phoenix is appealing, but L.A., I just don't know. There's nothing interesting. What am I going to watch? Price is Right?
You can go to all the hip clubs with the young fashionistas.
No, I'm not going to clubs.
Pulled up to a club in L.A. at 2 o'clock in the morning, sweaty, sandy, and gross from being in the national parks, and a bunch of reality TV stars come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is the most self-conscious I've ever felt. I was in like a 1987 beat-up Dodge Caravan.
I turned down a chance to go to the Playboy Mansion when it was around.
Man.
To let you know just how uninterested in L.A. I am.
Yeah, L.A.'s not that great.
Good morning. You are on the Ray Lalo Morning Show. Hello.
Hey, guys. One of the wonderful things about my job is that I get to drive through a lot of the country. And one of the best trips I ever took was work when we were doing production for Alice Cooper out in Phoenix.
Nice.
Yeah,
and
Phoenix
it
is
was just beautiful.
So what,
beautiful
what,
drive.
What was the most interesting part of the drive?
Just the change in scenery. I love New Mexico, southern New Mexico. And I love getting in where you're getting into the foothills of the mountains, you know, and it's gorgeous out that way. And going down through the canyons is just beautiful.
What's great, too, is you hit a northern route going one way. And then on your way back, if you hit a southern route, you get a totally different experience.
Well, and we went from Phoenix. We went up to L.A. or just north of L.A. and we did Queensryche the next week.
Oh, wow.
And came back through Denver, which would be 70, which is, you know, pretty much the northern route unless you want to go up all the way up to 80. So anyway, beautiful. And that's one of the big benefits of the job is that we get to see a lot of the country, and there's some gorgeous spots.
Were you on a tour?
No.
Okay, so it's just like a one-off type thing? Okay.
Yep. Just one-off, but it's a lot of fun, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it's absolutely driving across the country. I can't wait to do it again, honestly.
Don't get me wrong. I've been to Phoenix couple of times. I'll say several, but I've been there a couple of times. I really liked it. I liked Phoenix.
Well, and what's fantastic about driving across the country as well is...
But I flew both times. I didn't drive.
Well, if you drive across the country, you can hit some pretty distinct places, like, you know, Salt Lake City. It's beautiful there.
Holy cow. Listen, I got a story for you for Salt Lake. I've got Salt Lake City stories. I didn't go, but I had the chance to live there.
Mm.
And,
it's gorgeous.
And then, I didn't even go.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was really sick at the time, so I couldn't go. But they sent me a contract.
Oh, wow.
They sent me a contract.
On the table.
And I just ripped it up. I didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And then I went to Elgin.
Mm.
Elko. Elko, Nevada. Elgin. I went to Elko, Nevada. A few
years
later.
Down there by Auburn.
And we had to stop in Salt Lake City. So we stopped in Salt Lake City. Yeah. And we're on the tarmac, and the pilot let me open the door and walk outside, get some air.
Mm-hmm.
I looked outside, and I look, and I go, oh, my God, what is that beautiful? Because I didn't even know where we were. I go, what is that majestic looking? He goes, oh, that's Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really? It was beautiful.
Well, kind of tucked away.
It's got this gold dome. I don't know what kind of Mormon set. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But the city was gorgeous.
The temple, Mormon temple.
It was amazing.
And the city kind of pops up out of nowhere if you're driving to it.
Yeah.
And again, driving across the country, it's something I think people should definitely do at least once in their life.
All right, let me give you the top destination, all right?
Top destination is Springfield, Illinois.
Washington, D.C.
Of course it is.
Orlando, Florida, too. Austin, by the way, Austin's great. Number 3. Chicago, number 4.
Hey, look at that.
You're
all right.
3 hours away. Just go to Chicago. Atlanta is 5. Cincinnati, 6. Dallas, 7. Oklahoma City, 8. Las Vegas, Nevada, number 9. And Houston.
Where's Indianapolis on that list? That's also about 3.5 hours away.
Yeah, and I like Indy. I like Indy.
I really like Indianapolis.
I've never had an opportunity to live in Indianapolis, though.
It looks like it'd be decent.
I probably would have taken it because it's close enough. But Man, I'm not boy. I'm down to 87. They haven't shown up yet.
Wow, really? That's amazing.
Indianapolis, nice town. There's nothing to do, obviously.
There's good restaurants, a lot of veterans memorials, cool scenic bike paths. Their biking path is actually pretty intense.
Des Moines, Iowa. I love Des Moines, Iowa. Is number 60 on the list. Wow. I don't see Indianapolis.
That's surprising.
Madison, Wisconsin, number 49. Oh, I take it back.
Oh.
Indianapolis is 41.
There you go. All right, good deal.
Yeah. So there you go. List of the best. It's at wallethub.com. Wallethub.com has a best summer travel destinations article. You guys should check it out. It's really cool, and it's a great list. My mic just broke again.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, ratcheting up pressure on the Russia investigation, the White House has announced that top FBI and Justice Department officials have agreed to meet with congressional leaders and review highly classified information the lawmakers have been seeking on the handling of the probe. Monday's agreement follows President Donald Trump's extraordinary demand that the DOJ investigate whether the FBI infiltrated his 2016 campaign. It's not yet clear exactly what the lawmakers will be allowed to review. Meanwhile, the governor of Texas today convenes 24 members of a special panel looking at issues that's taken hold of the nation's consciousness. In just the last year, 44 people have died in mass shootings around the Lone Star States, and Governor Greg Abbott says that he wants to find solutions.
This is Jim Ryan in Southeast Texas, where the hunt for answers is married to a search for solace. The Santa Fe High School class of 2018 will graduate on time, but the pomp and circumstance is cast against the backdrop of a mass shooting that's claimed the lives of 8 students and 2 teachers and has left a school police officer in critical condition. As for 17-year-old Demetrius Pogorchis,
right now he's in the Galveston County Jail under suicide watch and there for capital murder. 17 years old.
Sheriff Henry Trocha said knew one of the murdered students and his own granddaughter was 3 doors down from the classroom massacre. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Illinois House is set to hear testimony about a slew of measures Governor Bruce Rauner's raised to enhance public safety, and among them is freeing up money for armed school resource officers. The governor changed a bill on his desk meant to increase wait times for certain guns to include a host of different policy ideas, ranging from bringing back the death penalty for cop killers and mass murderers to banning bump stocks. One policy he proposed would also free up school facility money to be used to hire certain types of personnel.
Highly trained, highly skilled professional security in schools to protect the students and teachers, but also mental health professionals that can be counseling students and hopefully identifying issues before they develop into larger problems.
Right now, using that money for personnel is prohibited, Rauner said, but he wants to allow the dollars to be used for such staff to ensure schools are safer. The sponsor of the bill Rauner changed, State Representative Jonathan Carroll, said they all deserve a hearing.
Like I said, we're going to hear the testimony. We'll see where we go from there.
That hearing is scheduled Wednesday. Illinois representatives are responding after their votes were split Friday on the federal farm bill, dooming it to fail. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
Democrats fighting stronger work requirements for food assistance recipients and conservative Republicans upset about the slow walking of an immigration bill combined to doom the first vote on the farm bill. Illinois' Democrats all voted against it while the GOP representatives voted for it. Representative Rodney Davis says, quote, tanking a bill critical to our farmers, not because you disagree with the bill, but because you want a vote on something unrelated is wrong. Democrat Bill Foster voted against the bill, calling it, quote, an attack on crucial benefits, including SNAP, that children, seniors, students, veterans, and working families need. Adam Nielsen with the Illinois Farm Bureau says the partisan fight has left farmers wondering what's to come of the program that expires this fall.
We hope that leadership negotiate some sort of a resolution to this.
I'm Cole Lauterbach.
And Governor Bruce Rauner's moved back into the governor's mansion. Illinois' first family moved from State Fairgrounds building while the mansion was renovated using $15 million in private funds. He says they're looking forward to cooking their own meals again. The mansion will be open to the public for tours in July. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
629-7970. That's 629-7970. It's CT Adams Pest Control Listener Contact Line. You can also contact us On the Message Mafia line, Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space, and your message, send it over to number 68255. Greg, we got a poem sent to us today.
Oh, sweet. Is that from our, poet laureate?
Our poet laureate. Greg says, my brain, it couldn't be number, and it really is quite a bummer. I've heard there's this thing, I think it's called spring, but this year, we went straight to summer. There you go. Nice poem.
Well done. Yeah, that's good.
Today in Trump, looks like he's going to get his investigation.
Yep.
That he hereby demanded.
On a Sunday. On a Sunday.
I hereby demand.
He kicked open the church doors with a bullhorn and he said, I hereby declare.
So let's give a hypothetical. What is he going to do when they find nothing? Hypothetical.
The proper thing to do would be to say it's good to know that the foundations of our country of not allowing for governments to use its tools to spy on political opposition within our democratic republic. Now let's move on. And end this Russia investigation, and let's get on with it.
So you said that's what he should do.
That's what he should do. Yeah.
What will he do?
He should have like an amicable type of response.
Yeah.
Really, either way. I mean, if it comes out that there was this effort to use tax resources to spy on your political opponent,
I'm telling you, if they find something, there's no way. Let's not even pretend he'll be quiet.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
That's why this whole investigation needs to be thrown out,
Ray.
Even the things I'm guilty of.
Ray.
Throw it all out, blah, blah, blah.
And see, that's the problem with law enforcement in general, that they always have to balance. Yes, they want prosecutions. They want to continue to, notch a little piece of something or other on the wood to show, yeah, I've got this prosecution. I got this conviction. But at the same time, if you compromise your investigation, even at the beginning of the investigation, you just compromise the whole case.
But I'm saying that if they find nothing, is he just going to say, okay, well, hey, at least I checked. I wanted to make sure.
Blah, that's blah. What you would hope. That's what you would hope.
And do you honestly, give me a percentage. How much, give me a percent of what he'll do. What do you think? 80% chance he'll do that?
Yeah, 80 to 85, 90. Close to that, but there's still that.
Really? You think there's 90% chance that he'll say, oh, I was wrong. Okay.
I'm basing this off the birth certificate deal. Because when he demanded that Obama release the birth certificate, right? I mean, he was like the most semi-mainstream voice to do so. When the president at the time, Obama, came out with that digital copy, Trump was like, all right, glad that he answered that. Next.
So you think he's going to go up and say, all right, okay, next.
Yeah, I think that when he is, what some would say, proven wrong, then I think he does kind of just move on.
And then say, okay, let's wait for this investigation to end.
Or he'll just continue to demand that the investigation.
Or find another way to disrupt the investigation.
Who knows? Who knows?
Good morning. You're on News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMY.
Hey, I think there's one thing Trump's never been accused of, and that's having an excess of dignity by anybody.
Yeah, I will give you that. He's never been accused of having an excess of dignity. You are correct. Now,
that having been said, if they found nothing, which I, honest to God, think at the most in that, what they'd have is stuff where they can pretty much indict his whole family, even though they can't indict him since he's a sitting president.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've got pretty much, so far you've got, at the very least, a parallel to Grant. I don't know if you know much about history. President Grant was a really nice guy. Parallel kind of falls off there with Trump. But he was so innocent, which I have trouble believing of a New York real estate mogul, that he ended up with corrupt people left and right, and his administration was considered one of the most corrupt in our history.
that's the best case scenario. Because
in
the best case scenario
is he goes down in history as one of the most corrupt presidents?
No, as one of the most corrupt administrations, but being himself innocent.
Hmm. All right. See, I mean, you're going way past the scope of the question.
Yeah, that was a little too deep.
Hypothetically, what does he do when if the investigation comes back and they show nothing? You're going way past it. I just want to know, what's he do?
It's funny you're saying hypothetically, because are you thinking that's going to say something?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I do agree with what you said earlier, which is if they do find it, when it comes to investigations, and I know it sucks. I know, because it happens every day, and I have friends who are criminal lawyers, and the way investigations work is, hey, they might search you and find all kinds of illegal stuff, but if the search isn't legal,
if you started it, it might
show the person you search is the biggest illegal law-breaking scumbag in the world, but the law is the law.
If the beginning of your investigation is flawed and unlawful, anything you find in that investigation is tough cookies. Sorry. Can't use it in court.
I'm saying Trump can be the most guilty. He could
He
could have colluded with the Russians.
He could have been everything in that dossier could have been exactly spot on.
He could be taking payments right now and keeping them. And some of if they find the investigation was from an illegal means, all that stuff gets thrown out.
I don't know if as far as what you just said, if he's currently actively taking payments
But you get the gist of what I'm saying, though.
But, here's the deal. We've got the Mueller investigation that apparently is going to wrap up by September 1st. That's just a couple of months away. Yeah. You've got an inspector.
That's Rudy Giuliani saying that. That's not anybody.
Yeah, Mueller has not said that. All right,
Mueller hasn't said that. That's Giuliani.
Mueller hasn't said much of anything. But Giuliani's is signaling that September 1st is when he expects the investigation to be done. You've also got, so that's something separate. You've also got an inspector general report that's going to come out in the next week and a half or so that's about the FBI's handling of the Clinton email scandal.
Right.
And all indication is that's going to be a scathing report and possibly some criminal indictments resulting out of that because of how the FBI handled the Clinton email investigation. Now, Trump's asking that the inspector general expand the scope of that to include whether or not politics was involved around that same time of the Clinton email scandal. If politics was involved in getting an informant to interact with the Trump campaign, that's the big scope question here. You've got the Mueller investigation separate, and then you've got this other situation with whether or not the FBI used its taxpayer resources for political advantage.
Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Of course I am. Now, why shouldn't our President Trump rub their noses in it when it comes out?
My question is, what do you think he'll do? You think he'll rub his nose? That's fine. What do you think he's going to do?
What do you mean what I think? I think he's going to have justice served and start taking down the Barack Obama legacy.
Yeah, but here's the question. Please answer the question. Here's the question. Hypothetically, if they find nothing, what will our president do? Will he say, okay, hey, I'm glad they checked? Or will he say, all right, we're going to try to get this to break down the investigation? What do you think?
I think he should keep digging until he comes up with the dirt we all know is there.
There you go. That's what I'm looking for. Good answer. All right, 629-7970. Good morning. You're on the air.
Have you ever known Trump to say accept anything that doesn't go his way?
I said, the birth certificate situation, I think he kind of let that putter out.
He could have been embarrassed a lot more had he not just went, okay, which is what he did.
He brought the birth certificate up even a year later and on and ran it and ran it. Trust me.
Well, if he still believes it, he's a lunatic. I mean, but I don't think he still believes it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he does.
All right. Thank you. So you guys you're all letting your emotions get in the way of answering the
question. You're not.
And that's why I said hypothetically, do you think if they find nothing, will he let it go? I got to be honest, I sort of agree with the first guy. I think he'll keep trying to find ways to stop that investigation. But there's a whole other,
let me ask.
People are now saying it's not constitutionally legal for him to ask for blah, 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 blah.
Oh, it absolutely
is.
He's the president of the United States. I know, the DOJ is his.
There are depths to this that I'm sure will continue on, but I'm just saying hypothetically. They find nothing.
Let me ask you a hypothetical, right? What would you do if it does pan out that the previous administration used a taxpayer agency to spy on political opponents.
Oh, I think that there's that's a that's
again
not,
all
that's
hypothetical.
Not, it's not constitutional. I think that there's got to be repercussions.
Yeah.
And who's Valerie Jarrett or whatever? Who was the head of the FBI? Well, who was the?
Who's well, the DOJ was.
Who's the head of the Department of Justice?
God, for the life of me, why are you doing this to me on the spot? Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, Loretta Lynch. I'm sorry. Yeah, you have. We've got.
And then you have Sally Yates was the deputy. Attorney General, I believe, in the transition.
Comey was the
FBI director, so he would be implicated. You've got John Brennan, the CIA director and a national intelligence advisor.
I think if that happens, then I think
you'd have some names going down.
Yeah.
And then the question would be, what did Obama know and when did he know it?
I think it would put a very shameful stripe across the back of President Obama. I really do.
And again, hypothetical.
Just like if this Mueller thing comes, I don't think President Trump's ever going to be impeached. But if the Mueller stuff comes out and they do find that Trump was complicit in some stuff, I think it's just going to put a really bad mark on the back of, I think it'll, because I don't think, by the way, I don't think this investigation is going to be over before the 2020 election ramps up.
Oh, really? 2020?
Yeah. I mean, look at how long Watergate took. Look how long the Clinton, the Whitewater investigation took. I mean, these things take years. We're only one year into this. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Yeah, this is just my question when it pertains to this matter. How do you tell if taxpayer money was used? Because, like, with any investigation, there has to be some type of smoke. Yeah, you know, like,
the FBI is funded by taxpayers.
Smoke to make you say, should we look into that or not? You know what I mean?
I think the smoke has been what's already been revealed months ago in the text messages between a couple of FBI agents.
Yeah, listen, I think
agents.
Those text messages are...
They're very damning. They lost their jobs, or at least changed position.
I think they're way overblown. I don't think that the two rogue...
I don't know if they're overblown.
I don't think two rogue FBI agents makes an entire organization corrupt.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
I don't think that either, but like within, you know, going from one president to the next, there's been so much... dirt digging going on toward the end of the Obama era and going into the Trump era. It's like both sides won't let anything go so things can get done.
Well,
you're right.
I'll tell you this. I believe this. I do. I honestly, thanks for the call. I honestly believe this. I honestly think, and don't get me, and I don't want to start wild phone calls, but listen, if the Russians called the Trump campaign, say, we've got dirt to help you win the election, of course they're going to go talk to him. Just like if they called the Clinton campaign, of course they're going to go meet with them. When this all is said and done, I'm not sure the Russians didn't play this hand of poker very skillfully. I really, because I'll tell you what, if they did, they're both guilty. Because you can't fall for it. I wonder if they didn't play both sides.
They did play both sides.
It looks like they made, for whatever reasons, the Russians made a decision that for us, the best president would be Donald Trump. I'm not sure why they made the decision. Who knows? But it does look like they went to both campaigns and said, we can make sure you win the election.
Yeah.
And both campaigns showed up. Yeah.
And by the way, that's one thing I think is the double standard here is if they're going to be looking into possible Trump-Russia collusion, they should be looking at possible Clinton-Russia collusion.
And even though Hillary Clinton lost,
they should still investigate it.
It still is collusion if she did it. So I think
and we know that Clinton colluded with the DNC, which was a whole mess.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's stuff to be... And I'll tell... Man, if I'm Bernie Sanders, man, am I angry. All right, anyway, there you go. That's today in Trump. You're listening to the Ray Lytle Morning Show on News Talk 94.7 970 WMY.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, Governor Bruce Rauner made the death penalty for cop killers and mass murderers an issue by including it among several changes he made to a bill about gun purchase wait times. Both sides of that debate say a hearing Monday was more about politics than policy. Republican State Representative John Cabello said he's tried for years to bring back the death penalty, but it's never had a hearing. He said the fact this measure is getting a hearing in the Democrat-controlled legislature is a sign of pure politics.
If you want to play political games, sir, do it with other parts of this bill, of this amendatory veto. Don't do it with this.
Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy said the issue being brought up in the first place smacks of politics, especially when supporters of the death penalty say the burden of proof could be unattainable.
If you really believe that, then you're acknowledging that this is a stunt on the part of your boss, that the games and the disgrace that another member talked about actually land squarely on the second floor.
Meanwhile, lawmakers in that same committee will hear Wednesday about other elements of the governor's plan to enhance public safety. The House heard about the death penalty Monday, but other issues coming up for that House hearing Wednesday, and that's part of the governor's mandatory veto of a bill. Rauner said his plan will increase the safety of school children and all citizens.
Highly trained, highly skilled, 72-hour waiting period for all guns, not just handguns. Making sure we have truth in sentencing and there aren't plea bargains that let dangerous, violent offenders back on the streets too early.
Rauner also wants to ban bump stocks and wants to free up resources for schools to hire armed resource officers and mental health professionals. The sponsor of the bill that Rauner changed said State Representative Jonathan Carroll, he said that he's open to the conversation.
There's some very important stuff in there. I'm about public safety. I'm about the process of public safety. So let's talk about these issues.
Meanwhile, a Springfield low-income housing development will benefit from federal tax credits. State housing officials say the credits can be sold to investors to offset construction costs, allowing rents to remain at below market levels. In Springfield, the credits will be applied to construction of the King's Court development. Abundant Faith Ministries is converting an old hotel into 18 apartments and buildings, two new duplexes on vacant land. The units will be available to families with income no greater than 60% of the local median. Now that $15 million in privately funded renovations of the governor's mansion in Springfield are nearing completion, what will be done to ensure the oldest executive mansions doesn't fall back into disrepair? Carrying boxes from a teal-colored Volkswagen van and followed by their dog Stella, Governor Bruce Rauner and First Lady Diana moved back into the formerly named Executive Mansion Monday. That's after $15 million of privately raised funds were used to renovate the aged structure. Diana said that it was sad to see how much disrepair the mansion had fallen into.
I think we were all appalled to see the buckets catching water from the leaking roof. And the mold growing up the walls in the first floor.
But now it's been renovated. How will it be maintained moving forward?
One of the things that we're so proud of is that this building will now be part of the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency and the Department of Natural Resources. It will be well curated and well cared for.
Rauner said there would still be a private foundation to raise private funds for mansion repairs and updates. And flags on government buildings in Illinois remain at half staff through sunset Tuesday in honor of the victims of the tragedy in Santa Fe, Texas. A school shooting there killed 8 students and 2 teachers. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
All right, everyone. It is almost summer. It feels like it's summer now. A Memorial Day coming up. We're getting to that picnicking and festive outdoor eating, family gatherings time of year where nobody wants to do the dishes. If they do, it's paper plates. And you just want something to basically hold it until you're done. Right?
Right.
And that's what it is. So I got
you. Throw them into the bonfire, get the paper plates and all the plastic cups. No, don't put the plastic cups in the fire.
I've got your top 10 finger foods. You ready?
Oh, it's great. Just in time for summer parties. Yeah.
All right, number 10. You get at the old ball game. Listen, I can't go to a ball game without getting a hot dog.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on.
Hot dogs. One of the, you know, when it comes
hot
to
dog,
food,
hot dog, hot diggity dog.
Number 9, egg rolls.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you can. Yeah, you don't really need a fork or a knife or something.
Well,
you know?
And there are all kinds of shapes and
sizes
of egg rolls.
I mean, you can if you want to get made fun of.
You can get the little spring rolls. You can get, the traditional egg rolls that are about the size of a silver dollar.
What are egg rolls? I mean, egg rolls are, it's the egg, whatchamacallit.
It's an egg wrap type of thing.
Egg wrap. They fill it and then they roll it up.
And it's got cabbage, pork, carrots sliced up. I mean, you could put like a vinaigrette in there. You could put like a mayo in there. You could do all kinds of different stuff with egg rolls. You can make like a barbecue, you know, bacon egg rolls.
Egg rolls are popular. Right, people, when they order the Chinese, they get the egg rolls.
Or you can make them yourself. It'd take a little time, but.
Oh, I'd never make them myself. It'd be horrible. Number eight, burrito.
Burrito.
Burrito's a nice.
How do you say burrito in Spanish?
Burrito.
Oh, is it? Do you have to roll the R?
Burrito.
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 That'd be the actual pronunciation.
Okay.
Or burrito. Burrito.
I didn't know if that was just like, you know, an American bastardization of the word.
No, burrito is burrito.
And it's also number seven on the finger foods list.
No, number eight.
Oh,
number seven.
I gave it a promotion.
Mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you what.
Mozzarella sticks are good.
I've changed so many people. I've turned people onto this.
All right. What do you got?
Next time you get mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
You're at a sit-down fast food restaurant, wherever you're at. Yeah. Right? They've got different types of dipping sauces. Typically, they give you
ranch. I don't like marinara sauce.
Typically, they give you marinara.
Yeah.
A lot of people substitute ranch. Ray, I'm telling you. Get some honey mustard. It will change
your life. Oh, I can't. There's no way.
Life.
I know it. I can tell.
It will change your life. Honey mustard and mozzarella sticks are a match made in heaven. I don't know what it is.
The sweetness of honey mustard, the sweetness scares me.
But
you know what I mean?
It's so good. Then get the honey mustard light. See if they've got light honey mustard.
They have some kind of low-carb honey mustard sauce.
I'm telling you, Ray, everybody I've told about this looks at me like I'm an alien from outer space, but after they try it, they're like, I can't go back.
I used something on onion rings. What was it? Somebody told me to try something on onion rings. I was like, oh, my God.
This is magic.
I cannot eat this. It's too good.
Was it like barbecue sauce?
No, it was some kind of... some kind of sauce, and it was just too... I don't even want to think about it. It was just too good. But honey, I think, in fact, honey mustard's one of the sauces, and honey mustard sauce makes onion rings really good, too.
Mm.
Honey mustard should just be made illegal. Number six, fried chicken. Oh, man, I love fried chicken.
Chicken tenders, chicken legs, chicken wings.
Fried chicken's so good.
The whole gamut of fried chicken.
You know what? I love the skin, and I can't eat a lot of it. You know,
what about
it's a lot of carbohydrates in the breading?
What about gizzards? What about livers?
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Gizzards and livers.
I think I've had gizzards I like, not so much livers.
I like the livers better than the gizzards myself. Like the fried liver, I don't know what it is. It's definitely a different texture.
What people always tell me about is the morel mushrooms.
Oh yeah,
I never eat them.
Don't put pictures of your morel mushroom hunt on Facebook or else the cops will kick your door down.
Is that true?
It happened. Somebody,
really?
I think so. I don't know if it was a fake news article. I saw it in a couple of different sources. So
what's illegal about getting morel mushrooms?
Nothing. The police thought it was, you know.
Pot.
Yeah. So. No, they thought it was psilocybin, I think, mushrooms. Psilocybin.
Okay.
The type that make you high and hallucinate.
Oh, good Lord.
That's what police, at least in this jurisdiction, I can't remember where the story is from.
Number five.
They kicked the door down because dude was having a morel mushroom party.
Number five, hamburgers. I will gladly pay you back Tuesday. Yeah, a hamburger.
And slider burgers as well.
Yeah, just that you hold it in your hand.
I'm waiting for our White Castles guy to call.
See, these, I got to be honest, though. A lot of these aren't like a hot dog, hamburgers. These aren't, they're not so much finger foods for me. Because I'm eating without buns, you know what I mean? I can't have the bun because of the low carb thing. So, but man, those are good. Number four, tacos.
Yeah,
tacos are messy. It's messy finger food, but it's a finger food.
We talking hard tacos, crunchy tacos?
Yeah, I think either one.
Cause soft tacos aren't those just burritos?
Well, not really. No,
What's the difference?
It's just a taco on a soft tortilla instead of a hard one.
But what's the difference? I mean, because I typically end up making it into a burrito anyways.
A taco shell
is
a traditional hard shell taco.
Yeah.
Is basically a tortilla that they've bent and deep fried.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, what's the difference of a soft shell and hard shell? Less grease, I guess.
But. Yeah.
Number three, chicken wings. Oh, love
those
wings.
That should be in the fried chicken slot.
We need a chicken wing place. I live in Chatham. We need a chicken wing place. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live there.
A chicken wing delivery place there. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, Ray, testing your diet knowledge. What's the serving size of chicken wings?
Oh, I don't know. Four?
I'm thinking that. Yeah, I'm thinking about
probably,
four.
Probably, yeah. Number two.
I'm going to look this up. Chicken wings, serving size.
Half.
It's about four wings.
Is that what?
It's about four wings.
French fries, number two.
What's the serving size of French fries?
I'd imagine quarter of a cup.
As many as I can eat.
until I can't walk. And the number one, want to guess what the number one finger food is? It's pretty obvious.
So we've gone through, I mean, we just heard French fries, chicken wings.
We've heard hot dogs, egg rolls, burritos, mozzarella sticks, fried chicken, burgers, tacos, chicken wings, and French fries. What's number one? Number one finger food. It's pretty easy.
Sandwiches?
No. Pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza. Number one finger food.
Now,
I'll tell you what, though.
Depends on the pizza.
Deep dish. You can't. You really can't.
You gotta eat that with a fork.
Yeah, deep dish. You need a fork and a knife or something.
Yes. If you're getting a Chicago style deep dish, you need a fork.
You can't hold a piece of deep dish and eat it like a New York style pizza.
You could, but you'd look like an idiot.
Well, it would drip out
at a party.
It would drip out. Yeah. I mean, those are your top 10 finger foods, everybody.
Look at that.
Getting through it. It's the Ray Lottle Morning Show.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.